We're looking for 21 listeners to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by All Saints Sunday, November the 6th. The Reformation Club is our monthly or annual giving program. Help us reach our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by All Saints Sunday. Membership benefits include t-shirts, books, transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the photo of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Sunday, November the 6th.
The biggest problem with poverty in America, we don't talk about here because it's an economic discussion, and that is the breakdown of the American family.
That idea that we should choose people based upon their religion for public office is what I find to be most troubling.
Just as we draw strength from Dr. King's struggles, so must we draw inspiration from his constant insistence on the oneness of man. It was that insistence, rooted in his Christian faith, that led him to tell a group of angry young protesters, "I love you as I love my own children."
In Afghanistan today, anyone converting from Islam to Christianity will be severely persecuted.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
There are some issues that are difficult to put to bed. The church has, well, I guess you could say that the church had settled a lot of its issues in the first century with the final penning of the New Testament. Everything that needed to be said for the ages until Christ's return had been said by the Holy Spirit through his inspiration of the gospel writers and the New Testament writers and the authors of the Old Testament as well. The book was, in effect, closed, and that's a comforting thought. And yet, the church continues to struggle age after age to return to remain with those teachings of Holy Scripture. That's why controversies continue to rise in the church. That's why old questions, long settled, sometimes need to be not reopened, but revisited at least, and the biblical answers given yet again. The questions change, but the answers always remain the same. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, October the 24th. It is the beginning of Issues Etc. Reformation Week, and that's a big week for us here on Issues Etc. Something special we do for our listeners, a great lineup of guests and topics for the second hour of the program. In the first hour on this Monday, part two of a six-part series on C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The predestinarian controversy was what it was called. What were they fighting about? Why were they fighting about it again? Dr. Cameron McKenzie will be our guest. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us in about 25 minutes to teach a Sunday school lesson today, Moses and the Plagues, beginning in Exodus chapter 5. And then, as promised, the kickoff of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We're going to be talking about confessional Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism. Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, will be our guest. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or leave your questions or comments for Pastor Whedon as we kick off Issues Etc. Reformation Week, talking about confessional Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism right there at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc, or if you're on Facebook, just search Issues Etc. and you'll find us there. Dr. Cameron McKenzie is a regular guest. He joins us for part two of a series we're doing on C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. McKenzie is professor and chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. McKenzie, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's great to be with you today.
Wasn't the issue of predestination more or less answered in the 16th century Reformation with Luther and the other reformers? Why did Walther, some hundreds of years later, feel the need to revisit and enter into that controversy again?
Well, of course, you're right. It was discussed and answered in the 16th century. It is one of these issues that surfaces periodically, primarily because it's in the Bible, and so people have questions about it. In 19th century America, it was a pretty big issue still between the two branches of the Reformed Church, the Arminian branch and the Calvinist branch. But I think the real reason for its surfacing again among the American Lutherans was on account of the fact that Walter and his generation of Lutheran leaders had a big task in front of them in instructing American Lutherans generally as to what the Lutheran confessions were and what they taught. You probably remember that for many years running, Walter did a series of essays before the Western District of the Missouri Synod, and that meant the lay delegates as well as the pastors, on the topic of the doctrine of the Lutheran Church alone gives all glory to God. And that gave him the opportunity to treat a number of different topics that are addressed in the Lutheran confessions. And one of those topics that's addressed is the doctrine of predestination, particularly in the Formula of Concord, Article 11. So Walter is trying to teach his church what it means to be a Lutheran, a confessional Lutheran, on the basis of the doctrine that the Book of Concord confesses, because, of course, it's in the Bible. And at a certain point, he comes to the doctrine of predestination. And it's when he comes to that doctrine and delivers this very public essay about it that some of those who later on read his essay raise objections to it.
So without intending to, he kind of uncovered a pretty serious disagreement among Lutherans in America.
Right. Now, he had already had, and this might have motivated his the way he presented this doctrine in 1877, in that there had already been a dispute between the Missouri Synod and the old Iowa Synod a few years earlier, about a decade earlier, on this question of predestination. So it had already come up once, but now Walter's gotten to it again, and I don't think that he imagined that there would be the same kind of debate on his side of the Lutheran spectrum as there had been between him and the Iowa Synod, regarding which he had known for a long time that Missouri and Iowa were on different sides of many questions. So I think you're right. I think he probably expected criticism again from the Iowa Synod, but I don't think he expected criticism from those Lutherans with whom he was already in fellowship in a church body known as the Synodical Conference.
How would you simply outline the two sides, if there were only two sides, but the two sides of the debate over predestination for Walther and the 19th century American Lutherans?
Sure. The argument is over the relationship of predestination to faith. Everybody who reads the Bible knows that it teaches something about predestination. St. Paul addresses it in Romans and Ephesians, the Gospel of John, and you know, even the little verse that gets repeated in the Gospels, many are called but few are chosen, suggests that there is somehow a doctrine of predestination. But the question is, for these 19th century Lutherans at any rate, is what is the relationship between the fact that God chooses those who are going to be saved from all eternity and the fact that they believe? Now, Walter taught correctly, according to the Scriptures, that God chooses for salvation from all eternity, and having chosen people in Christ, he makes sure that they hear the gospel and believe it. In other words, faith is the result of God's loving action in Christ that begins from all eternity, and we call that predestination. The other side thought that that, in a certain sense, minimized faith. So they made faith the precondition for predestination. In other words, that God chose from all eternity, but he chose those whom he foresaw would believe the gospel. So that the gospel comes out, somebody believes it, and God says, aha, that's the one I'm going to choose for salvation. So that faith, or something in the human being, moves God to choose and to be gracious. So that's how the two sides kind of lined up.
So it comes down to kind of cause and effect.
Yes.
Walther's position is that it is God's foreknowledge and God's eternal election in Christ of you, Dr. Cameron McKenzie, that causes in time through his working through the Spirit and the Word, you to come to faith. Whereas opposed, the other side would have said, no, God looks forward in time, sees that you will believe, and that is in effect the cause that moves him to elect you. Is that essentially the basic disagreement there?
That's basically how it worked out. Now, to some of the listeners, this may seem like a meaningless controversy, but it actually isn't. Because if I hold to the Walther position, then I'm emphasizing that my salvation from beginning to end, from call of the gospel to conversion to believing to remaining in the faith to dying in the faith in heaven and therefore entering heaven, is all entirely the work of God. It all proceeds from God's love for me in Jesus Christ.
Well, let's take a break right there, and we'll get the other side. What are the consequences if you think that God chose you in view of your future faith? What are the consequences for God's action in saving you there? Dr. Cameron McKenzie is our guest, part two of a series we're doing on C.F.W. Walther today, The Predestinarian Controversy.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the predestinarian controversy. that involved one of the founders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod about 150 years ago, C.F.W. Walther. He took the position of the Lutheran Confessions and the Scriptures. Others took a different position. We're walking through the theological consequences of both sides of that debate with Dr. Cameron McKenzie. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club is a group of, well, we've had them around for a long time, a group of listeners who want to be regular supporters of Issues Etc. at one of several levels that we offer, the Confessor, the Apologist, the Reformer, or the Patron in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Now, you can find out all about the benefits and the levels of giving for the Reformation Club at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, and there you will find those levels, the benefits, and everything you need to know about joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We currently have 179 members, and our goal is to have 200 members in the Reformation Club by All Saints Sunday. That's November the 6th, All Saints Sunday. Now, find out about the Reformation Club, issuesetc.org. Click Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. There you'll find your information. If you want to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, then send an email to Craig at issuesetc.org, Craig at issuesetc.org, or give us a call at 618-223-8385. Say you want to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, 618-223-8385. Dr. McKenzie, before the break, you said that Walther's position, that God had chosen us in view of Christ and not in view of anything in us, to elect us and to bring us to faith and keep us in the faith and to maintain that faith all the way until our dying day, gives all glory to God. What does the other side of the position, the other side of the debate, do?
Well, the other side of the debate moves people to look inward instead of outward to God's grace. What I mean by that is if the important question, or the important question is not the right way of saying this, but if predestination is based upon my faith or my response to the gospel, then there would be a tendency to look inward as a place to start when I'm wondering whether I'm a Christian or not, instead of outward toward the grace of God in Christ. So there's a touch of subjectivism, let me just say, in the other position. Now, I'm avoiding the heated rhetoric. I don't want to pretend that the other position were a bunch of crypto-Pelagians, just as I think it was false for them to accuse Walther of being a crypto-Calvinist. But nonetheless, I do think it is a valid criticism of the other position that it makes man's role more significant than does Walther's position. You have to respond to God's grace, believe the gospel, before God will have predestined you.
Now, to be fair to the Calvinist position, Calvinists do not hold to that errant view among the Lutherans in the 19th century that it was in view of faith. They explicitly reject that, don't they?
Right. The Calvinist position is an unconditional election. God determines from all eternity who's going to be saved and who isn't for reasons of his own. Nothing in us, nothing about us makes him choose one way or the other. He chooses some in order to be glorified in his justice. They're the ones who go to hell because they're sinners. And he chooses others to be glorified in his mercy. These are sinners whom he chooses for forgiveness in Christ. Now, everybody needs to understand that the Missouri or Walther position was not the Calvinist position either. Though God's choice is unconditional, we also believe, we reject the notion that God rejects some from all eternity, but instead we teach, along with the Scriptures, that God loves everybody in Christ. So we teach universal grace, God loves everybody in Christ, and particular election, that God loves particularly you in Christ and has from all eternity. We and Walther fully recognize that this doesn't this doesn't really work together logically. Universal grace and particular election are usually thought of as opposites. But the Scripture teaches both, and very importantly, each one of them, each of those ideas, is important comfort to sinners looking for the surety of salvation. God's universal love, that's really important. God's particular love for you in Christ from all eternity, that's also an assurance of your salvation.
Mike listens in Kansas City. Thanks for waiting on the line, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Wilkin. And I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc. It's a great resource. And thanks for the topic. I've been wrestling with this a little bit just recently. You answered the first part of my question concerning what would be the difference between God's predestination and the Calvinist view concerning limited atonement. But the second part of my question is this. I understand the error that God's foreknowledge concerning him foreseeing who would accept him. I understand that theological error. How about the concept, though, of God foreseeing who would reject him? I mean, don't we as sinners have the power to reject Christ's righteousness?
Yes, we do. When God uses means to deal with us, like the Bible or the sacraments, he also gives us the power to shut the book, to stay away from church, to reject the offer of grace, so that the responsibility for sin and damnation rests with the sinner, the unrepentant sinner, and not with God. Now, I hasten to add that we're not very far away from a mystery that we can't answer. And that's the mystery of why does God convert some and not others? This is one of the great, great questions of theology, and we can't answer it. God hasn't told us. We're not God. So we have to rest with what he has revealed, and that is the universal love, and also now, well, let me say it the other way and answer your question, human responsibility for rejecting God's grace.
How did Walther conduct this debate or deal with this controversy? What was his approach to those who held the unbiblical position?
Well, it proceeds along at least two lines. One is through written statements and public lectures, but they also had some kind of free-for-all discussions, if you will, in debates with the clergy. There were pastors' conferences that were held on this matter. And I think it would be, we'd have to admit that tempers did fray in connection with this. I think Walther felt particularly hurt by the fact that a leading opponent of his was actually a former student and colleague of his. This was a fellow by the name of F.A. Schmidt, who had actually belonged to Walther's congregation in St. Louis and then later on had been trained by Walther and was actually on the St. Louis faculty for a while. So there were a lot of personal emotions that went into this conflict, and I don't think any of us should be shy about admitting that you know, people like Walther could lose their temper.
With only about a minute and a half, how did the predestinarian controversy end for Walther and those who held a different position?
Yeah, not good. The controversy split the synodical conference, which was the joint group of all the confessional Lutheran church bodies here in America, and they included the Norwegians and the German Lutherans and some of the even more Americanized Lutherans. But when the dust settled, the Ohio Synod had left the Missouri, left the Synodical Conference. The Norwegian Synod had left the Synodical Conference. The Norwegian Synod went even further. It was split into two parts. One part, that opposed Walther's view, was really kind of said it all. They were they called themselves the Anti-Missouri Brotherhood. So in later decades, when American Lutheranism started to reorganize and consolidate on account of the predestination controversy, you ended up with the East Coast Lutherans and the Swedes in the old Lutheran Church in America, and then the Midwest Lutherans in two groups, the American Lutheran Church and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Without the predestination controversy, those two Midwest groups might very well have been one.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie is professor and chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. McKenzie, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're very welcome. Congratulations on celebrating Walther's 200th anniversary the way you're doing it. I really appreciate that.
We're happy to do it. We really are. When we come back from this break, Deaconess Pam Nielsen is going to join us from Witness Mercy Life Together in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson talking about Moses and those 10 plagues, beginning in Exodus chapter 5. In the second hour of the program, Issues Etc. Reformation Week kicks off in hour two with Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. We'll talk about confessional Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism, a big subject to fit into just 1 hour, but we'll do it in hour two of Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30. Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Pat Robertson generated controversy when he said it was okay for a Christian husband to abandon a wife with Alzheimer's, provided custodial care is given. This is patently unbiblical. Our marriage vows say until death do us part, not until sickness do us part. My father never considered abandoning my mother when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I would have been appalled if he had, and so would have Jesus. Mr. Robertson's calling Alzheimer's a walking death opens the door to euthanasia. We don't feed, love, and care for dead people. We bury them. Jesus tells us to minister to the sick and weak. Honor and respect them until he takes them home. It's extremely painful when a noted Christian leader advocates behavior which is contrary to the sacredness of life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.